how should brands be thinking about the digital landscape today? Like, what is everybody missing that they should be doing?
I mean, you know, Chris, I've been talking about this for a couple of years now, and I think it is still the prevailing trend that for some reason hasn't gotten the traction it needs to, which is that traffic is over. Web traffic, by and large, especially referral traffic, is largely ending or gone.
Welcome to Talking Too Loud, the show that's serving up the loudest takes on building businesses, top-notch products, and unforgettable brands. I'm your host, Chris Savage, and I'm joined by my producer, Sylvie.
What if we were talking too loud about forgettable brands? That's my question for you today.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. I mean, the first thing I thought of was MoviePass.
Oh, but I guess it's not forgettable
because I can remember it. So
I was thinking of Quibi.
Oh.
Because I worked worked on a project for them, and then it
did tanked. You really?
Yeah.
Did I know this?
I don't know if you knew things.
Did I know that?
I don't know. We're all twisted up.
You kept that a secret, I think.
We're all twisted up today because our guest made us giggle so much.
That is true. We had an amazing guest today, Rand Fishkin. And
we're not going to bury the lead. We're just going to tell
you. Yeah, we're not going to bury the lead. We're going to tell you who it is. But today's episode, really, I would describe it as a reality check for modern marketing, a blueprint for earning attention in a no-click world. And even I would say this is a wake-up call for anyone who is still clinging to old playbooks. We're digging into how digital attention is fragmenting, why attribution is falling apart, and what smart marketers, founders, and creators should be doing instead. Our guest built one of the most iconic brands in SEO, then flip the script with SparkToro, helping people figure out where their audiences are actually hanging out online. He's also the CEO of Snack Bar Studio, an indie video game company. He's part strategist, part truth teller, and one of the sharpest voices on where marketing is headed next. Get ready to get loud with Rand Fishkin.
He's just jumping right in. Savage always likes to hit record before I or the guest is ready.
Well,
yeah, that's a smart plan.
Look, Sylvie, we already missed
that no one expects.
We already missed one piece of gold, maybe even two.
For those of you listening at home, what I told Chris and Sylvie was that even though I despise everything about Elon Musk, I've somehow agreed to be the CEO of three companies, and I don't know, bad decision. But on the plus side, I have not tried to shut down the Parks Department or get access to your tax data. So I think that
which we really, I have to say, we appreciate.
Yeah.
So, that, Rand, thank you for coming back to the show. So good to see you.
My pleasure, Chris. Great to see you. Sylvie, good to see you as well. How's Zan doing? How are the kids?
Kids are good. Zan is good. You know, it's busy over here. They're like 7 and 9 now. So there's just like,
have to drive them to 1 million things every day?
That happens. Yeah, they both have signed up for a million activities, piano and singing and musicals and upright bass and soccer and lacrosse. And it's awesome. But yes, things are good. My life is busy.
So speaking of musicals, I went to one of the most bizarre events that any human has ever attended this past weekend.
Good. What was it?
You might be familiar with Mandy Patinkin from his most famous role in The Princess Bride, where he plays Inigo Montoya. But he's also a celebrated Broadway actor and singer and has been in many musicals, especially in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. Hmm. And he performed what I can only describe as a fever dream of one after the other strange bits of the musical acts that he did in the 70s and 80s, 99% of which no human will recognize. Interspersed with stories about his life, which those were quite fascinating. And it was never clear to me whether the performances were ironic, authentic, a combination of both.
The whole time.
Oh my God, was it weird. I remember I turned to Geraldine at one point and she said to me, "What is happening? Should we leave?" And I said, "No,
this is the point. This is the point.
I think we need to stay and see how crazy this can get."
And how crazy did it get?
He performed, not ironically, Bohemian Rhapsody in the middle of it.
Oh, wow. That's a long song.
As though he were just at karaoke night. I mean, it was.
Wow.
It was that's crazy. Wild.
Yeah. That is.
No words.
Yes. You don't see that every day. Well, I'm glad you got to experience that.
That's definitely something to talk to you loud about.
Yeah. I think one of the lessons that I have as a takeaway from this is the crowd loved it. Like, we didn't know what we were getting into. We had no idea why we were there. We went because some friends are big fans of Mandy Patinkin's and we got them tickets. They also were familiar with none of these other works, nor did they know what to expect. But I think there is a powerful lesson for me, which is that if you build up a brand, even among this like relatively small niche, I love 70s and 80s Broadway shows that nobody probably has heard of and haven't been reperformed in 4 decades, you can attract an audience, you know, when you're in your 70s. Mandy Patinkin is 74?
Yeah.
Incredible.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I was blown away. I thought to myself, boy, is this going to be me, you know, when I'm in my 70s going on stage and talking about Google? I hope not. That would make me very sad.
Well, maybe you'll be gaming on stage. Maybe you'll be playing your own games.
That would be better.
You know,
that would be better.
With the crowd there to cheer you on. But I want to go from, you basically set us up as a transition. I don't know how you did it.
Magic.
It's just the way the way you do it. But one of the things I've seen over and over is that you are early on these trends of what is happening in marketing. Mm-hmm. What's the truth? And like, where are people missing what's actually happening? And I think we need to go deeper there and really start talking about like, how should brands be thinking about the digital landscape today? Like, what is everybody missing that they should be doing?
I mean, Chris, I've been talking about this for a couple of years now, and I think it is still the prevailing trend that for some reason hasn't gotten the traction it needs to, which is that traffic is over. Web traffic, by and large, especially referral traffic, is largely ending or gone. It's nearly gone from the social networks. Even when they do provide it, it's now dark traffic, right? Where they hide the referred data. Yeah. Traffic is dying from Google, and that is intentional, right? Google is basically using their search monopoly and the advent of AI overviews and instant answers. And the fact that consumers want it. Consumers like going to Google, asking a question, getting an answer right inside of Google's interface and never having to click on a third-party website. It's terrible for creators, writers, business owners, and it's also the reality of the world that we live in. I think this is a very, very hard concept for the executive team of companies and marketers to resolve, because for 25 years now, marketers have been judged on their ability to drive traffic. And that shouldn't be their goal anymore. Their goal should be driving influence, which was their goal in the 20th century.
The whole time. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For 100 years, marketers' job was influence these people to prefer our products, to know and like our brand, and to buy from us. And then the internet came out, and people were like, hey, why don't we just send traffic? And then we'll figure out what to do with the traffic once they get to our site. And that era is ending.
And there's a bunch of reasons why that era is ending. You know, one is like lack of attribution, right? But I want to go in one part deeper here, which is, I think what you're saying, but just to be really clear, which is we're saying traffic is hard, but you're still going to get customers. They're just, when that traffic comes to your website, if it's on your website, it's going to be completely different from how it was before, right?
So yeah, to be completely clear, what I'm saying is that there was an era where marketers' job, especially marketers in organic channels, SEO, content marketing, social media marketing, PR, email marketing, all that kind of stuff, where their job was to bring thousands of visitors, relevant or not, to the website. And then the website's job was to convert the maximum percentage that it possibly could of those visitors into customers. And what I'm saying is that era is over. You will still be able to get some traffic, but it will be only the highest intent, most bottom of funnel traffic that's already said, hey, I want this product. I know and like this brand. I want to go directly to their website and transact with them, interact and engage with them. those are the really the only people that I think in the next 5 to 15 years you can reliably count on, even today, reliably count on. The thousands of non-relevant or non-hyper-relevant, non-bottom-of-funnel folks who are sort of broadly interested in your topic, have a bunch of questions, but aren't yet ready to transact and engage, those people will have their problems solved by Google, by the AI tools, by the content they consume on the social network where they're browsing, reading, watching, listening, paying attention. They will not go to your website nearly as much to consume that content and to move from the top to the middle to the bottom of the funnel. As a result, you have to change your KPIs. You have to change what you expect of marketers. Today, you know, 90% of business owners think, why are you showing me how many followers I have on LinkedIn? Why are you showing me how many engagements, how many views I have on YouTube, how many people listen to our podcast? I want traffic and then I want conversions. I'm telling those executives they need to throw out those KPIs at the top of the funnel and they need to think more carefully about engagement, views, these things we called vanity metrics. I was one of the people who stood on stages, probably at your event, Chris. I bet I stood on stage and said, look at these dumb vanity metrics. Here's real traffic. That's what you should pay attention to. And now I'm the person saying that guy was wrong. You've got to change with the times. And the times are top of funnel, middle of funnel, traffic is over. Those answers are going to come somewhere else.
So you mentioned before, like, this is sort of devastating news to creators, to writers. What are the upshots? Like, where are the opportunities if you're not going after traffic and you have to show up in other ways? Like, where are the opportunities?
Yeah, it's what my colleague and SparkToro's VP of marketing, Amanda Natividad, calls zero-click marketing. That's where all the opportunity is. The opportunity is on the platforms and in the places where people already pay attention. So there are, you know, at the smallest level, podcasts people listen to, email newsletters they subscribe to, YouTube channels they follow and watch, you know, content they consume from creators, but in these specific places where they are already engaged and paying attention. They have their Spotify subscription, they've got their, you know, YouTube subscription, whatever it is. That is where opportunity lies. And the other place is in the answers themselves. So when, you know, Google's AI overview gives you an instant answer, when Bing gives you an instant answer, when ChatGPT or Gemini or Perplexity gives you an answer inside your chat, that is where you have an opportunity to influence what is being said about you. The metric is the problem. How you measure is the challenge, Sylvie, right? Like, you can't say, oh, look, ChatGPT sent us our list of the number of times our brand came up and the number of times our competitor's brand came up in every relevant question about us or every relevant chat about us. That data is not available. And so marketing is going to be a lot more on faith.
And you've talked before, too, about even getting yourself, like your brand, into those answers, right? Because I think a lot of people are just now starting to pick their heads up because they're seeing traffic go down, right? Like, that's become common now for people to see, okay, my content marketing traffic is going down. I got to do something. And there are things you can do to try to help yourself be represented properly in those answers. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So almost all of these systems now use the same, relatively the same format, which is not structured data that is entirely pulled directly from the web. It is now using these large language models, which build corpuses, right? Build giant databases, indexes of data that come from many sources. The web is certainly one of them, but as we know from, you know, the Facebook, who's suing Facebook? Is it Hachette or Penguin Random House, right? One of the big publishers. Like Lost and Found, my book, and Geraldine's book, If You Can't Take the Heat, both of them were indexed without our permission and used in OpenAI's library for ChatGPT, right? So it's essentially all of this content that is being crawled and indexed and built into these models like, you know, O3 or whatever it is in ChatGPT. And those models serve up, if you want to get formal, tokens that are frequently found near and after other tokens. What they mean by tokens is words and phrases and combinations of words and phrases. So if, for example, when people write self-hosted video on the internet, in books, in magazines and trade publications and across the world, and frequently Wistia, the brand name Wistia, is associated with that. It comes after that. It's in the same sentences and paragraphs and documents very frequently. It is likely that when someone asks ChatGPT for self-hosted video options, that Wistia will come up. That is the way to do that. Now, what if you say, okay, I want to start a competitor tomorrow, right? I want to start a new brand that's going to try and be a self-hosted video tool. Well, how are you going to appear in more documents more frequently near those words and phrases than Wistia already does? That's kind of your pathway to becoming the brand that these large language model answers will give, that Google's AI overviews will give, that Bing will give, and ChatGPT and Perplexity and all the other ones. Does that sound hard?
Yes.
that sounds really hard.
That sounds near impossible, really. Because you're competing against longevity, against history, against SEO that's already been there.
Momentum. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, and you're competing against Wistia. I don't think you want to do that.
No, you don't want to do that.
Back off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I love you guys, but I also despise monopolies. So I do. Mm-hmm. I do.
Well,
think
we're definitely not a monopoly, so don't worry.
Yeah, you're not a monopoly.
Yeah.
Competition in a space is really healthy. But I will say this. So, Sylvie, you're absolutely right. It sounds near impossible. And there is one silver lining here, which is that these models prefer and prioritize freshness, just as Google before them did. As an example, let's say that there are a million documents in ChatGPT's model or training data that turns into their model that have Wistia connected to self-hosted video. But in the last 6 months, there are 10,000 new documents they've found that contain self-hosted video or reasonable synonyms for that phrase. And in those documents, a new brand is more popularly featured than Wistia is. The model is likely to show that new one in addition to or even above Wistia, despite the historic precedent. So it's possible to change these things. I've seen these models change super fast. I don't know if some of you, if you guys have seen some of the case studies where in very small sectors where there's not a lot of sort of content around a thing, people will go and they'll leave a few Reddit comments and threads. And Reddit is one of the fastest used indices or content sources for these models. And they'll be able to change the answers in a matter of weeks. So,
wow.
It's doable.
It's doable. But I feel like it's like what you're saying to tie it together, at least the way I think about it is like, you got to do great brand marketing. And in today's world, that means you need to build all this influence and be the place where people actually spend their time. And part of great brand marketing is it's hard to measure in the short term. It's not hard in the long term because it drives sales, but this is the thing that is one of the upshots kind of you were asking about before, Sylvie. That's like, this is the upshot right now. It's like an exciting opportunity because if you believe in yourself, if you believe in like taking a creative approach here and you can actually invest in doing great brand marketing, it could really pay off. But again, you're going to have to trust, as Rand's saying, like you're not going to get tons of these short-term things. It's going to be real obvious in 3 years when you're the leader and you're recommended all the time and you see so many AI recommendations that cause people to come to your site, but you have to take a longer term view, which most people are not ready to do.
Yeah. This is there's this big danger that because of how the last 25 years of digital marketing has worked, which is essentially, you bring on a person, let's say to do SEO, the field that I used to be in, right? And within 90 or 100 days, you would start to see, oh yeah, they're doing link building for us. They're optimizing keywords. They're Choosing which pages to create, and they're creating the right content, and they're making sure it's structured the right way. And great, we're now getting into Google's results, and we're seeing some of these less competitive phrases where we're rising. You won't see those like leading metrics in your analytics. You will not see the traffic coming directly from that. What will happen is instead you'll see views, followers, subscribers, more people searching for your brand name, more people subscribing to your email newsletter. Your conversion rate should be going up generally, but it's long and slow. In those first 90 days, you might see none of that. Are brands ready to make those kinds of investments where they won't see traction for 3 to 6 months at a minimum? And the traction they do see will be these things that have been derided as vanity metrics for 2 decades. I don't know who's willing to invest in those. What I do know is the people who are going to be the ones who win.
I have a question, I guess, about showing up. So you both mentioned there's an opportunity now to really show up in different places, right? And earn trust on different platforms. How do you not fall into the like tactic chasing trap? If you're just like, okay, I need to be in more places now, so I'm going to post on LinkedIn, I'm going to post on TikTok, I'm going to post on Instagram Reels. How do you find an actual strategy to like leverage your presence on these platforms where your audience is?
I think that's a phenomenal next question. So very, very wise of you. So the way I think about this is essentially...
I feel like I'm talking to a professor and I'm like, I get it. I'm in it.
This is
all
like
making sense,
right? Like the dream of every professor is that their students are suddenly like, wait, I think I understand this.
I do.
I have no qualifications. I dropped out of college just for clarity.
Oh, you've got qualifications. Come on.
Yeah.
I've seen you lecture many times, Rand. Okay.
We need to send you a mug that says best teacher of the year.
I'll get right on that. as soon as teacher pay rates go up, I'm in.
then he's going to be there.
So let's see. What I would say is if you're sold on this and you're ready to buy in, and you're like, yes, I get it. This is how I'm going to measure my success. This is what the future is going to be. But I don't want to just be chasing tactics and channels. I want to be intentional about this. I want to be smart. The job at the highest level is discover your customers' real sources of influence. If they're on TikTok, that does not necessarily mean that TikTok is a source of influence for them on your topic. And so you have to be cautious about saying, hey, our customers are, for example, on Facebook because of their demographics, or they're on Reddit, or they're on YouTube. Are they paying attention to the sources of influence in your field? Are they having relevant conversations or relevant consumption behavior in those places? If the answer to that is yes, then participation makes sense, but only if you have a unique value proposition for your content, similar to the unique value proposition that you have for your product. So you need some reason why people will pay attention to you above and beyond whatever else is on these platforms. And my God, there's a lot, right? The competition, like you were saying, Chris, is more insane than it's ever been. And earning attention in a place like TikTok, I would say, is 100 times harder than earning attention in a place like LinkedIn. Earning attention in a place like Reddit might be pretty high value right now. It is not yet sort of spammed and overrun to death. The Reddit algorithm is quite good about showing things. Another place with high opportunity that very few people are investing in is Google Discover, which is a content marketing sort of platform. Google Discover is, for many sites, driving 2, 3, 4 times as much traffic as Google itself, Google Search.
Oh, wow.
Which is
I hadn't heard
wild.
That. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I would say, too, there are niches where podcasts make the most sense. There are niches where YouTube makes the most sense. There are niches where Twitter still makes sense. There are niches where, for example, in the scientific research community, it is almost all moved to Blue Sky. If you want to be relevant in that world, you should be on Blue Sky. Like, that's where you should be contributing and participating. Threads is another place where a bunch of the activity that historically was on some combination of Twitter and LinkedIn and the rest of the web has moved to Threads. So you've got to find these places and then create the unique value proposition for your content and your brand. And then you need to find the metrics that tell you whether that's working or not. And that those might be vanity metrics, and you might need to play for 6 months or 9 months or a year before you find out, aha, I think I got the formula for what's going to get me amplification on Threads and bring people to subscribe to me, or like which videos are working for me on YouTube, or what kinds of topics do I participate in Reddit where I don't get downvoted to hell, and how do I structure my content or my phrasing or my replies or my engagement. I can tell you only this. I've never seen anyone successfully do it with AI. Never. No one has ever been able to say, oh, you know what? I just have an AI bot reply to people on Threads,
Instagram, LinkedIn. You're saying the AI content creation piece. And they're getting better at detecting it and shutting it down.
Yeah, that's also true. But human beings, human beings who are like, oh, you can't tell the difference, blah, blah, blah. Okay, maybe you can't tell the difference, but nobody is upvoting the AI stuff.
Yeah, well, it's also just like, if they don't build systems in all of these platforms that manage the amount of AI content, they would already be all completely overrun. So like, then the utility of them would disappear. So they can't let that happen. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we know it must emphasize humans being a part of it. So then it's like, what are the unique things humans do? It's like, okay, unique experiences, unique research, like emotional takes, like detailed human stories, like things that an AI can't create because, yeah, novelty. It's interesting. I mean, also, I think you're saying something that I really like, that I just haven't heard this exact way, of the fact that like what's happening is this, there is a ton of audience and attention out there. It's just splintered across these different platforms. And people always say, which platform is the right one? And the answer is it really depends on your audience and like where you can actually make something great.
That resonates. You know what we should do? We should like start a company that collects a bunch of data about where people are on the internet.
Will you be the CEO? Oh,
my God. I already have these three jobs.
I guess you are.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
I think conveniently one of those jobs actually is CEO of that company.
Oh, one of them does this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have one other question, which I was just thinking about in this moment, where like, I don't know if you agree with this, but we're talking about brand marketing being important, but I would say the value of brand in software is about to go up a lot.
I mean,
and that feels like new to B2B, where it's like, we could see companies that are literally bought. Actually, I know a company that was bought now that I'm saying this, and it was just for the brand. And like, that did not used to be the case. People used to say brand in B2B was like bullshit, right? And like that it didn't, I always believed it mattered. Just product and go to market motion, but like the brand didn't matter. But in the world of like, the people are only going to come when they're really close and they're ready to go. We're saying brand matters a lot more, and the value that what that means, the value of a great brand is going to become so much higher because it's how you stand out. It's how you get those people to trust and come at the last moment to like actually purchase. Do you agree with this? Do you think this is like another thing coming?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at how all of these answers are provided through whatever platform, what is YouTube going to put in your up next and recommended? What is Reddit going to surface in the For You or popular feed? What is Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter or Threads or Blue Sky or TikTok going to show you? What answer is Google going to give you? Perplexity going to give you? Gemini going to give you? ChatGPT going to give you? The answer to all of those is the most popular and engaging brands in the space for the audience. That's it, full stop. So
yeah,
for the people who are thinking about taking their foot off the traffic gas and slamming on the brakes, I would instead say, no, you need to find a different gas pedal. The gas pedal you're looking for is almost certainly in how do we create brand notoriety, recognition, familiarity, trust, through either our own content or third-party content, through content on our own site and content on other people's platforms. And you have to do that in order to be the answer. Brand is just it's a shortcut, right? It's just like a cheat code.
Yeah.
If you build a brand that is easy to share. And that, you know, that means in easy to share in all the ways, like straightforward processing fluency. The brand name is easy to say, spell, remember, share with other people. The branding, right? The visual language of the brand is memorable and well crafted and relevant to the problem that it solves. The product and the marketing and the messaging and the positioning all fit seamlessly together. Like, it's all this 20th century stuff that like the advertising and marketing world figured out that they did really well. And then for a quarter century, you know, jamokes like Rand Fishkin told people, you don't need any of that stuff. You can just rank high in Google. And he was right for a while, right? Like,
that guy's such a jamoke.
I was thinking about also using jabroni, but I feel like I'm more of a jamoke.
Oh, jabroni.
Jabroni is too.
That's more hockey related.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not quite tall enough to be a jabroni, so.
Yeah, you're more, yeah, jabroni. Okay, here comes the rapid fire section. Describe SEO in one word in 2025.
That face.
how about like, can I have more than one word?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Influence, not clicks.
Okay. Which platform do you think is the most overhyped for marketers today?
TikTok.
Which platform deserves more hype?
Reddit, Blue Sky, Threads, LinkedIn.
Okay. Sparkturo and Wistia aside, what tools do you recommend every marketer?
I use and really like BuzzSumo. What else do I use a lot of? This is going to be a weird one, but I love Mercury Bank. They're flipping awesome.
That's awesome.
I can't tell you how much time Mercury saves me, like, on everything. They just thought of everything. Like, whoever the CEO is sitting in the product every day giving all that feedback we talked about.
That's awesome. What's the most underrated skill for marketers today?
Empathy.
What brand do you think is nailing audience building right now?
Teenage Engineering.
Nice.
I got to look them up.
Rand, thank you so much for coming. I feel like we ran out of time and this flew by.
We need part three, part four.
We need part three,
part
four.
This is part two.
It makes me think we should be doing, you know what we should be doing soon? We should be doing a live episode.
Ooh. Yes.
And like with a lot of Q&A, I think that'd be sick.
Yeah, that'd be super fun.
Rand, if people want to learn more, connect with you, where can they find you?
My God, everywhere. Everywhere except TikTok and Twitter, which I've largely abandoned. I am Rand at sparktoro.com. If you want to send me an email, I love to help people. And if you want to follow me, I am most active on Blue Sky these days, where I'm Rand Fish, and LinkedIn, where I'm Rand Fishkin.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Thank you, sir. So good to see you.
Yeah, likewise. Right back at both of you. Thanks for having me.
You know, one of the things that I kept thinking about throughout this conversation with Rand is we've had Rand on the show before. I've made a lot of content with Rand over the years, been to a lot of conferences, and he's talked a lot about, you know, zero-click marketing. He's talked a lot about these changes that are happening with, you know, less traffic from Google, being able to track your traffic less. I've talked a lot about like brand affinity, brand marketing, and for a long time, we've been in this space having this conversation before anything has changed. It was kind of like, hey, we see the signs. And the thing that felt different about today is that the change is now actively happening, right? So people's traffic is going down. The way we are searching has changed. We are getting from answers from AI that we weren't before. Audiences have fragmented across all these different platforms. And so I just think these messages are just much more relevant today. And a lot of us are feeling the pain at this moment. And also, I think, can actually live in this new reality of doing a lot more brand marketing, ramping it up, especially on the B2B side where it has not been ramped before, and trying to build that muscle of doing the right thing for 6 months, for 9 months, for a year, for 3 years, with the belief that the returns will show up. And so I think that was just like a really different tone in the conversation today from the previous ones.
Yeah. I would add to that, we had Rand on, I think, in 2022. And so it was like right at the tail end of what he's called the golden age of marketing, right?
Yeah.
And so it all felt sort of anticipatory. And now we are fully in the change. We're in the change and we're having to make sense of it. And marketers are having to really like reconfigure what their jobs are in a lot of ways. And that's hard and scary and cool. Like it's all the things.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, this episode was able to help folks like get their foothold a little bit.
I hope so. And I also think like, you know, if you take another piece away from this episode, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff changing, a lot of bad stuff, a lot of opportunity. You can also have fun while you do it. That's what I always think when we talk with Rand. I mean, this guy is so passionate, so fun to chat with him.
I just want to giggle with Rand.
I think we just, unfortunately, like, we probably should have booked like a solid 2 to 3
hours. Still giggling.
Yeah. There was so much good stuff in there.
Yeah.
So we loved Rand. We hope you do too. And please rate and review the show wherever you consume it. It helps us get the word out there. If you have ideas for people that you want to feature on the show, topics for us to cover, please reach out to us. You can always email us at talkingtoloud@wist.com, or you can find Sylvie and I on LinkedIn. And until next time, we'll be seeing you.
So earnest.
Someday there'll be an ending tagline, but 100 episodes in, we don't have one. So good luck to us.
Good luck. Talking Too Loud is brought to you by Wistia. Hosted by Chris Savage. Produced by me, Sylvie Lubau, along with Adam Day. Executive produced by Wistia Studios. This episode was mixed by Maria Passingham of Edit Audio. Listen to Talking Too Loud wherever you listen to podcasts. And hey, rate and review us wherever you listen. And check out more content from Wistia Studios at wistia.com.